Let's stand together and find Deuteronomy chapter 11. If you take your Bible, if you're getting familiar with it, you got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then Deuteronomy. It's the fifth book in the Old Testament. It's a great book. I sat down and read the entire book one time, 32 chapters, just sitting down and read it straight through. Love it. It's a tremendous book. And we'll look just at a few verses in this chapter this morning. For sake of time, we're going to limit our reading to three verses, but I will reference a couple of others as we get into the message. If you would help me now, we're going to read verses 10, 11, and 12. Would you please join me on verse 11, all right? So Deuteronomy 11, verse 10 says, "For the land, whither thou goest in to possess it," I'm sorry, did I give you the wrong chapter? Deuteronomy 11, okay, chapter 11, verse number 10. "For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year." Let's pray together. Dear Father, we're so thankful that you love us. Great proof of your love on Calvary 2,000 years ago when you gave Jesus to die for us. Great proof of your love when you gave us a copy of your word. Thank you, Lord, for it. And I pray that we glean something from it today that would help us. Lord, may the Spirit of God take the word of God and do a work in the people's hearts this morning. And I pray, Lord, if there's anybody in our midst not saved, that today might be the day of salvation. Come thou fount of every blessing. Bless our service this morning. We need it. In Jesus' name we ask for it. Amen. Thank you. Be seated.
When the storm raged about them, the disciples were afraid. For the waves were high and the ship was tossed. They could not find their way. Then they awoke the Master, saying, "Lord, please save us now." He rebuked the wind and the sea grew calm, and they all wondered how. God sees the storm from the other side. He knows the lessons learned, and just beyond the clouds he sees clear skies. His big peace to the raging storm, when peace could not be found. He already sees the rainbow. Called on God in prayer, when it seemed to me that all hope was gone and I was in despair. And I remember what the Lord said when he calmed that troubled sea, and I know once more how he sees the storm of peace floods over me. Could not be found. He already sees.
Thank you, ladies. That was tremendous, and I love the message of that. Enjoyed it. Thank you for being with us today. These ladies will be headed down to Clinton, to Brother Robertson's church. He just preached here a few weeks ago, and all summer traveling, right? And pray for the Coburnettes. Now, after more miscarriages than I would even care to tell you about, she's on course to have these two babies. So you pray for them, okay? And this couple has stayed faithful through all those disappointments. This will be their first children born after I don't know how many miscarriages. I would hate to tell you. But you pray for them. We certainly are thrilled, Brother Jeremy, and pray for you and Joanna. Look at verse number 11, if you would. Now, it's like I said a minute ago, it's a few minutes later than normal, but I am mindful of that. We have to get out because of the buses that go out this afternoon. Verse number 11, but the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys. Do you see that? That's what I want to speak on this morning, hills and valleys. Hills and valleys. Lord God, thank you for today. Thank you for this group of ladies, for Brother Coburnett and his brother. And I do pray that you'll bless Joanna and the little ones that she carries. And Lord, give a safe delivery for both those little children and healthy babies. Thank you for the song we just heard, that you see the storm from the other side. And God, I pray that you'll help us now as we talk about hills and valleys this morning. Make it a help to your people. May I just be the messenger boy. And I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. And amen. A baby is born to first-time parents. A loved one passes away. A promotion is given at work. A department is closed. And the jobs are lost. A marriage enjoys another happy anniversary. A couple struggles to get through a conflict. A teenager walks happily through life in obedience to their parents and the will of God. A teenager gropes for the way back, having been out of the will of God. A physical is completed, with the results being you're in perfect shape. A physical is completed, with the results being we're scheduling some tests. A loan application for the house is approved. A refinance application is denied because you're upside down in your house. We won't loan you the money. Now, does that sound like opposite ends of the spectrum to you? It should, because it is. And actually, people, it is a pretty accurate description of life. A life of hills and valleys. Hills and valleys. This morning, I am making an application from this passage. I am spiritualizing a text about the promised land. This is a text about Moses getting the people of Israel ready to go into the promised land. And Deuteronomy is a book of preparation, and Moses is preparing them to enter into that land. And they're going to soon go in and take possession of the land that God had promised them. Often ground or land is used in the Bible to teach us a spiritual truth. So before Moses dies, he'll not go into the promised land. Before he dies and goes on to paradise, he's going to turn over the reins to Joshua, and he's going to take the children of Israel in. But before all this happens, Moses does all he can to prepare them for their new home. Now, he says in this chapter, the land, the physical land, talking about the ground, okay, the real estate, the property, the physical land will be quite different than what they have known for the last dozens and dozens and dozens of years. He said in verse number 10, I'm shortening all this so I can keep us on track this morning. It's okay. We scheduled the girls to be here. We're fine. Okay? But I'm shortening it just for sake of time. He said in verse number 10, it's not going to be like the land of Egypt where you've been living. He said down in Egypt, the land is not productive. When you planted a plant in the land, you planted a plant and then you watered it on hand and foot. That's what he said in verse 10. You planted these plants and then they had to be watered. This one had to be watered. And you had to carry water. And you had to water every plant. Because the ground, the land was unproductive. It was not conducive to growing good crops. It was much like maybe the ground that I grew up on as a boy on the red clay of Georgia. You ladies think it's tough getting this black gumbo dirt out of your boys' britches? You ought to live where there's red clay. Oh, my goodness. And I can remember the work and toil that it took to prepare the garden for growing vegetables. I mean, it took an unbelievable amount. That rototiller would literally beat you to death. At the end of the day, you'd go to sleep still feeling the vibrations in your body from trying to till that Georgia red clay. That's like the land of Egypt. It was unproductive. But he told them, he said, the land where you are going now is fertile land. They called it the land of milk and honey. It produced grapes so large that they had to carry one bunch on a pole between on two men's shoulders. There was sufficient rainfall, and the land soaked in the rain that fell, and it was easy to work with for growing fruits and vegetables. And then Moses also said in verse number 11, it is a land of hills and valleys. If land can be used as an illustration of life, then the description of this land as hills and valleys is a great and accurate illustration of life. Everybody's life is pretty much a progression of hills and valleys. All of us. Everybody. Everybody's life is that. A marriage. A home, a business, a family, a church, a ministry, a nation. A life is pretty well defined by the words hills and valleys. You see, it is impossible to spend your life on the mountaintop. You're not going to do that. And it is just as impossible to spend your life in the valley. Everybody will experience not only the hills, but also the valleys. Not only the valleys, but also the hills. And when you think about hills and valleys, much of life is spent making the journey between the two. Think about that. You may be on a mountain this morning and not realizing that the ground on which you're walking is very subtly beginning to go into decline. Pretty soon you'll find yourself in a valley. You may be walking through a valley this morning. You may not realize it, but the ground that you're walking on through this valley is on a slight incline, and it won't be long until you'll be back on the mountain. Because that's how it is in life. It's mountains and valleys, hills and valleys. You see, it's not like a roller coaster. It really isn't. It's not like what I experienced this week for the first time in several years on the senior trip. I always catch up with the young people because I can't keep up with 18 and 19-year-olds much anymore. I'm not old, but there is a difference between 54 and 18. I will tell you that, okay? You can say amen to that. At midnight in Times Square, I'm ready to go back to the motel. This bunch, oh no, let's go another hour, you know, let's stay up. But usually they go on the roller coaster at the beginning of the trip, and I join them for the, you know, walk around and look at the sights. Oh, isn't that neat? Isn't that great? Isn't this cool? You know, but the thing got reversed this year because of a scheduling conflict, and I missed some of the sights and ended up at the park. But I'm not going to be a party pooper, so I got in line for the Batman. What did I get in line for, Brother Bragg? The Superman. Where you lay on your stomach. I did notice one thing going through those long queues. 40 minutes worth. To be on that ride for 60 seconds. Da-da-da-da. Y'all think I'm nuts for hunting deer. Yeah, I don't know. I did become painfully aware of one thing. I was the oldest person in line. I will tell you that. I was looking around for another gray-haired Brother Howell, and there was none to be found anywhere. And then I started looking for a bald head, and there was none to be found either. No. I was the oldest guy in line. Got on the Superman and did that, and then I did another one. I forget the name of it, but all I know is, you know, it was when I got done, I said, that's enough. But well, it's been years since I've been on one. Up, you know, just now life. Not really. You'll have a few roller coaster moments in life, but more accurately, life is hills and valleys. And the time it takes to get between the two. Hills and valleys. Let me give you three lessons this morning quickly from this truth in this chapter, hills and valleys. Let me say number one, I hope that you'll understand whether you're on the hill or whether you're in the valley. Number one, God cares for you. God cares for you. Look at verse number 12. The Bible says it's a land of hills and valleys in verse number 11. Then Moses said in verse 12, it's a land which the Lord thy God careth for. Now, wait, what now? The land is a land of hills and valleys, and it's a land that God cares for. So that means God cares on the hills and the valleys. And God cares in the valleys, and God cares on the hills. Folks, do you know that even the hills, the mountaintop experiences in themselves do not produce peace? Do you know that? Some people have that idea. Some people have the idea that if I can just get to the mountaintop, if I can just get to the hill, if I can just live on top, I'll have peace, I'll have joy, I'll have satisfaction. Do you understand that some of the people who have achieved the highest mountaintop experiences in life are the loneliest people and the most unfulfilled people in life, while many others who have trudged through deep and long valleys have far more joy and are far more stable in life than those on the mountaintop. Listen very carefully to the statement. It's not where you are. It's who you know. It's not where you are that brings peace and joy and satisfaction and fulfillment in life. It's who you know. And when you know God, and when you belong to God, and when you have a relationship with God, you have the peace and the joy and the fulfillment of knowing that whether you're on the hill or in the valley, He cares for you. He cares for you. He cares for you. It's not where you are, it's who you know. God cares enough to prepare and construct our path with hills and valleys. The hills are because God cares for you. And the valleys are because God cares for you. People, do you understand that the temptations in both places are different? They're different. Do you understand that while on the mountaintop, you know, we dare not get heady or high-minded or lifted up in pride as if, you know, we designed this elevation ourselves? That's a temptation of the mountain, isn't it? And then while in the valley, we dare not get bitter or mad or despair and angrily charge God unfairly. Say, you have no concern for me. You see, that's a temptation in the valley. I'm glad that God doesn't leave us on the mountaintop because that has its own specific temptations. I'm glad God doesn't leave us in the valley because the valley has its own specific temptations. No, God constructs our life and designs our life with hills and valleys, and He never puts more on us than we can bear. Never. So if you're on the hill this morning, old devil comes along with a prideful suggestion, you tell him where he came from is where he can return. And that you understand it's God's great gift that you're on the mountaintop. And if you're in the valley this morning and he comes to you with a temptation for despair and anger, you tell him that he can again go back to where he came from because you know that your God loves you just as much in the valley as he does on the mountain. He cares. You know, we are funny people. If we're not careful, we expect and even act as if we deserve the hills and yet don't deserve the valleys. Maybe we should look at it a little bit differently. Maybe it's the hills we don't deserve. You know, you drive for how many years? Day after 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 day without a flat tire. And you get one flat tire. And it's... What about all those days where they stayed up? All those weeks and months and years where those tires took you places where you wanted to go. Why is it we always cry out to God in the valley, yet never stop to praise Him for the hills? Maybe we should learn to cry out to God in the valley, cry out to God when we're on the hills and praise Him when we're in the valley. Or we could just learn to praise Him for both and to cry out for His help in both. Lord, thank You for the hills and help me to serve You and live for You. Lord, thank You for the valley and help me to live for You and serve you in the valley. You know, maybe we should just learn to do that, understanding that in both places, God cares for us. God cares for us. So the first thing I'll show you about this is God cares for you. Number two, let me show you that God is watching you. Not only does God care for you, but God is watching you. Look at verse number 12. Look at what he said about this land of hills and valleys. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. So God cares and God is watching. And listen, from his vantage point, like the ladies just sang a moment ago, from his vantage point, he never loses sight of us. We are never hidden from or beyond or below or obstructed from his watchful eye. He is watching to see how we handle both the hills and the valleys. You might say, but Brother Angel, there's no reason for him to have to watch us when we're on top of the hills. Well, man, when we're on the hills, we're doing just fine. Well, I remember a story about a man in the Bible by the name of Uzziah. Uzziah was a man who reigned over Judah. And there were some wonderful and exciting accomplishments that took place under his reign. His reign was pretty much an incline to the top of the mountain as he was the king. Then the Bible says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. You see, the hills gave him a feeling of invincibility. The hill gave him a feeling of strength. The hill gave him a feeling of success and accomplishment. And evidently, he took it all upon himself and shouldered it and said, look what I have done. And God saw that. And God sees it all. He sees the hills. He sees the valleys. He sees our whole life experience. And he is watching to see if we will walk rightly through all of them. I've told you before, it's been a long time. Several new people here in the church haven't heard it, but you know, Ben and Ashley over in Madagascar, in 9,800 miles from home, on that island off the southeast coast of Africa down there. And it looks like, praise God, they'll be coming home in December for an 8-month furlough. We are excited about that. They'll be here for Christmas with us. And we're excited about it already. But anyway, he had taken those survey trips over there. He was aware that animism was the religion of the country. He was aware that they took the bones out of the tombs, the bones of their ancestors, once a year and had a celebration and prayed to those bones and burned incense to those bones and had a feast and paraded around the streets with the bones of their ancestors. So he knew that animism, spirit worship, ancestor worship was real strong. What he wasn't prepared for was the voodoo. What he wasn't prepared for was the witchcraft. What he wasn't prepared for was all the demonism. It's a former French colony. It's like Haiti. That's what it's like. And I would forget when he sent an email walking through the valley. And he sent an email to me and he said, Dad, I have never felt so unprepared, overwhelmed, over my head, in a bad situation in all of my life. And I emailed him back and I said, Dear Ben, good. Now, God can use you. Now God can use you. We talk about that from time to time. And you know, things have turned around, not completely, but they're getting there. They got a crowd of people coming now. They had 5 baptized last month. It's coming. It's like having a baby. It's a birth process. They won't form a church this term. They'll have to wait till they go back. But they got that Bible study. And they still got probably half the Bible study that's not saved. But they're coming and they're listening. It's America what God has done. Now listen very carefully. You know, God is watching when we're on the hills and God is watching when we're in the valleys. And He's watching to see how you and I respond in both places. The test. And some people think that the valley is the only place where there's a test. The hill's a test too. Paul had to make this testimony. He said, I know both how to abound, that's the hill, and how to be abased, that's the valley. I know how to behave in both. I got to quit this morning. Not only does God care for you, not only is God watching you, but this is just a simple message today, very elementary, but I hope it's number 3. God blesses faithfulness. God bless His faithfulness. Look at verse number 13. Now, I'm talking about whether you're on the hill or in the valley. Doesn't matter. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all your heart, with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in this due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. Now remember, he's talking about the land. And the land is made up of hills and valleys. So he says, no matter where you are, I'm going to send the rain on the hills and in the valleys, and it's going to soak it up, and it's going to be productive. It's going to be fruitful. And no matter where we are, Christian brother, Christian sister, if we will just do and be what we are supposed to do and be, God can make both the hills and the valleys a productive time in our life. I'm glad I have a God like that. I'm glad I have a God that can take all the circumstances in my life, the hills and the valleys, and all the places in between, and make them fruitful for me as a child. I'm glad He's not limited to a certain type of ground. You could not produce in Georgia what you can produce here in this fertile soil of Illinois. And some places in Georgia produce things you couldn't produce up here. Those beautiful cotton fields down there. And I hate to say it. Those beautiful tobacco fields. Forgive me. I'm not for the tobacco. But have you ever seen a tobacco field? Beautiful. Beautiful. Now they ought to burn it up out in the field before it gets into the warehouse. But it sure is beautiful. But yeah, I don't think you grow that in Illinois. So some places here the ground can't produce what it can in other places. But I'm thankful that in my life, I'm thankful. Brother Gillis, I was thinking about you when I was penning this message. I know the Lord had you on my heart. And by the way, Brent and Katie have Abigail here today, her first visit to church. So be sure and see the little girl. But I was thinking about you, brother. You know, an evangelist would love to be preaching every weekend. But he's called to do. It'd be kind of a dry time for him. It's been dry time for a lot of evangelists. Brother Curl's had more cancellations than he's had in years, financially. Other men. Now he's headed out after this week, after today, and they're gone. They're gone the rest of the summer, and I'm glad you are. And I'm glad, Brother Gillis, that God, you know, because a ministry goes through hills and valleys. There is no ministry that's on a hill all the time. We were talking last week, you know, God has done something in our church these last few weeks. God has done something in our church these last few months. He's done something for us. He really has. We have a lot of new people. Good folks. Blesses me. Some out of town this morning, but I don't mean some, and most of them saved and won to Christ through the Great Commission ministry. It's just a blessing. And it's just every Monday morning we get together and we just go over all the blessings of the past week. But let me tell you something. A ministry is not going to stay on a hill forever. A ministry is not going to stay on a hill forever. A ministry is going to hit valleys. Individual lives aren't going to stay on a hill forever. Individual lives are going to hit valleys. Marriages aren't going to stay on a hill forever. They're going to go through valleys. Anybody who says they don't is not being honest. A home with children and rearing the kids is going to have those hills, those places of tremendous victory and joy, and then you're going to have valleys. I am thankful beyond words this morning, that I know, regardless of I'm on a hill or in the valley or somewhere in between on the way to the next one, God can make it all fruitful in my life. There's never a place, unless I'm out of His will. Are you listening? There's never a place that's unproductive in His will. There's something I can learn. There's something I can be taught. There's something that God can do in my life. On the hills and in the valleys. Do you know what the catalyst is? Now, don't miss this. I'm going to shut it down. But the catalyst, now watch this, the catalyst, because I want all folks who've come in the last 6-8 months to hear me real good, and everybody that's been saved for 50 years as well. The catalyst to see God make both hills and valleys fruitful. The catalyst is faithfulness. Faithfulness is the catalyst. If you'll just stay faithful through the hill, over the hill, through the valley, up the next incline, on the hill, down the next decline, into the valley, up the next incline, on the hill, down the next decline, in the valley. Faithful, 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 faithful. Faithful is the catalyst. Faithfulness is the catalyst that brings God's productivity and blessing everywhere you go. Stay at it. Stay at it. Walk and love and serve. And isn't it wonderful that the two requirements needed to be faithful in verse number 13, look at what he says. If you should hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all your heart. Love Him and serve Him. Love Him and serve Him. Everybody can do that. Everybody can love Him. Not everybody can preach. Not everybody can sing. Not everybody can be the leader of a college, whatever promotion you just got out there, Brother Coburnot. Not everybody can be an assistant pastor. But everybody can love God and everybody can serve God. And you don't have to be on the hill to love God and serve God. You can love God and serve God in the valley. You can love Him and serve Him and love Him and serve Him and be faithful to love Him and serve Him and love Him and serve Him and be faithful to love Him and serve Him and love Him and serve Him. And if you'll be faithful to love Him and serve Him, that's the catalyst that brings fruitfulness whether you're on the hill or in the valley. That's life. That's life. And maybe you're too young yet to know that life has hills and valleys. But it won't take too many years, even in your 20s, to understand that life is not this. And life is not this. Life is this. If I'll just be faithful to love Him and serve Him, He cares for me, He watches over me, and He will make both places fruitful in my life. Yeah. Hills and valleys. Where are you this morning? Whoa, 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 whoa. That's really not that important. Who do you know? Who do you know? Doesn't matter where you are. Who do you know? And do you love Him? And do you serve Him? Let's pray together. Thank you for listening. Heavenly Father, take these simple thoughts. Drive them deep into our heart this morning. Help us in the hills and in the valleys to know that You care for us. You watch over us. And that You'll make both places fruitful if we'll just be faithful. Help us to love You and serve You. I pray and ask in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one is looking. Wonder today who would say, Pastor, while you were preaching, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. It doesn't matter where I am right now, whether I'm on a hill or a valley. The bigger issue here is that I serve Him and love Him. And God spoke to my heart about being faithful. He cares for me. He's watching me. And more than anything, I want to be faithful to love and serve Him no matter where I am, on a hill, in a valley, or somewhere in between. And God spoke to my heart this morning in a very real way. Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you in just a moment. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Thank you. Take your hands down. Let me encourage you. The time when we give the invitation this morning, just to slip out, come as close to the altar as you can and just kneel and say, God, You spoke to my heart just a moment ago. Please help me be faithful to love You and serve You. And thank You for loving me and caring for me and watching over me. Let me encourage you to do that if you raised your hand just now. Help me be faithful. Wonder who's here this morning would say, Brother Angel, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I know where I'd spend eternity. I'm saved and on my way to heaven. And I know that for sure for a Bible reason. Would you lift your hand, please? Just be honest about it. Would you just be honest about your salvation? Thank you. You may take your hands down. Is there one here or more that would say today, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I have no idea where I am headed in eternity. I do not know that I'm going to heaven. I don't know what's going to happen to me. Pray for me. I didn't raise my hand a moment ago. But I'll raise it now and say, I'm not sure where I'm going to spend eternity. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand? Just put it right up and right back down. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Anyone here today like that? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Right to left, front to back. Anybody? Main floor, ground, upper floor, balcony. All right. Who's here today would say, Pastor, I've been saved, but I've not been baptized since I've been saved. I've trusted Christ, but I've not followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Pray for me. Somebody like that here this morning? God bless you. If you came today prepared to obey the Lord in baptism, you step out right now. While we're getting ready, we'll get you prepared here. Just come while you're waiting right now. Well, we'll talk to you about it. If you'd like to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, and find out what that means. You come. You can come in just a moment when the music begins and the fellows can explain that to you. I'll pray for you in just a second. If you're here today, you've been saved and baptized. You've talked to myself or one of the pastors on staff about church membership. And you know this is the place God has for you. We're happy for you to come and join this morning during the invitation time. But if you need to be baptized or you need to be saved, when the invitation begins in just a moment, you come and they'll talk with you about either one of those things. Father, I thank you for loving us. Thank you for your word. Stir our hearts and bless us this morning. Thank you for the good music we heard from the ladies. God, I pray that you'll take the truth of your word, drive it deep into our hearts today. In Christ's name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. In just a moment, we're going to stand. We're going to have the instruments play. And as they begin to play, if you raised your hand and said, God spoke to your heart, why don't you come? Just take a moment, kneel and say, God, please, help me to be faithful to the hills and the valleys. Why don't you come and say, I haven't been baptized. What does that mean? Or come for membership. Or most of all, come to be saved if you're lost. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed. The ladies are playing right now. Would you come? Just leave your seat and come to where you're sitting today. Many, many hands were raised. I hope that you'll do that. Get in the habit of going to an altar. It's a good thing. Would you come? While we wait.